Within the simulation, the search for the creator. Chapter 7, Attention Shapes Reality. The scene opens in a vast warehouse filled with flickering overhead lights and distant echoing sounds. There are the echoes of trains passing nearby, even children playing in a distant playground. The walls are lined with shelves stacked high with mysterious objects, half-finished projects, tools, and artifacts that appear out of place, as if from different time periods. The air is thick with a sense of expectation. Fatima, Trey, Timmy, and Aravi stand together, their expressions a mix of confusion and curiosity. Suddenly, the guardian appears before them, materializing from the shadows. The tall, commanding presence, he remains cold and enigmatic, and the group tenses, unsure of what to expect. The guardian speaks with intent. Welcome. You've entered a realm unlike any you've known. A place where reality is not fixed, where outcomes are not predestined. Here, reality is malleable. The guardian pauses, allowing the words to sink in. The group glances at each other, processing the implication. And Trey says skeptically, malleable, like we're supposed to believe we can just change things by thinking about them? And the guardian tilts his head, almost amused. Precisely, in this simulation, your intention shapes the environment. Focus on something, and it gains form. Ignore it, and it fades. This is not just about experiencing the scenery. It's about co-creating it. The guardian then shifts his gaze to Fatima, sensing her scientific curiosity. She raises an eyebrow, intrigued. So you're saying that observing something changes what it does and how it behaves and manifests? Like that experiment, what we call the double slit in physics? Ah, yes. The guardian nearly smiles, impressed. The double slit experiment, a prime example. When something is watched, it behaves one way, and when it isn't watched, it behaves a different way. The act of observation alone alters the outcome. The others, particularly Timmy, look puzzled but try to grasp the concept, and Timmy, scratching his head, says, wait, so you're telling us this place is a video game-like? We control what happens just by looking at it. Is that what you're saying? The guardian nods. In a manner of speaking, yes. Think of the simulation as a game where the code respects what it values, and it values what is observed. Your actions, your attention, these are the levers you pull. The guardian then steps forward, its tone growing more intense. Each of you carries something fundamental, a spark of creation. You're not merely players, you are co-creators, and every thought, every action carries weight. The group falls silent, absorbing the gravity of his words. There is a sense of fear and fascination in their eyes. Aravi says to herself, so we're not just in a simulation, we're part of its very code. And the guardian says firmly, you are more than code. You are more than just lines in a program. You are potential, the very fabric from which reality weaves itself. He raises a hand, gesturing around the warehouse. Objects seem to shimmer, becoming clearer and more defined as they are noticed by the group, while those which are ignored fade back into the shadows. Remember that the simulation responds to you. What you choose to see, what you decide to focus on, will determine what unfolds next. He gives a slight nod, signaling the end of his introduction. The group takes a tentative step forward, ready to test the limits of this new reality. The Guardian vanishes, and without warning, a group of hostile entities materialize, moving with a menacing intent toward the group. They look like non-playable characters from a video game. Stiff in movement, their faces devoid of emotion, their weapons drawn. Trey immediately takes a fighting stance, his muscles tensing, ready for action. Here we go again. Do we fight or do we run? But Ada V, her spiritual instincts kicking in, remembers what she had heard from the Guardian. Wait, don't just react. Let's focus on changing these NPCs. Remember, the Guardian said that the simulation responds to our attention. Fatima adds, yes, that experiment, the double slit experiment. And Trey says, double what? And Fatima explains, it's a physics experiment. When you observe a particle, it behaves one way, but when you look the other way, it does something else, kind of like a puppy dog. The physicist continues, it's very odd. When you look at these particles, they behave like particles, but when you look away, they behave like they're waves. And no one knows the reason why. The hostiles continue advancing. Aravi says nervously, so what shall we do? Just stare at them? And Fatima says firmly, no, not just stare. Focus on something different. Imagine them as something else. They can remain NPCs, non-playable characters, but they can be neutral or even friendly. The group concentrates on this, their expressions tightening with the effort, and slowly, the hostile figures begin to glitch, flickering as if they're caught between two realities. Their movements become jerky, hesitant. Timmy, startled, says, it's working. They're changing. And indeed, the attackers' aggressive postures begin to soften, their weapons lowering, their faces turning from hostile to neutral. The warehouse around them seems to respond, shifting subtly, as if echoing their intentions. And then the Guardian's voice echoes from above, cold but approving, saying, remember, the simulation respects what it values. Keep your focus. The group, now emboldened, understands that they have more control over this environment than they realized. They prepare to move forward, ready to test this newfound power. Inside the control room, a murky, ambient-lit area punctuated by the glow of multiple monitors with various angles of the situation they're watching, the Guardian, the Gamekeeper, and Lance stand before the screens, their expressions a mix of curiosity and concern as they observe the unfolding events in the warehouse. The Gamekeeper frowning, his eyes narrowing behind his rectangular framed glasses, is visibly annoyed, turning to the Guardian. Those NPCs were designed to interact, not attack, so someone altered their code. He narrows his eyes at the Guardian. But you gave the four of them a hack, which is a good thing. Gave away some of the rules of the simulation in the game, but you told them how to manipulate the game a bit and how to neutralize those non-playable characters, the NPCs. Lance looks on, frowning, and says, they are not just surviving, they're actually managing program's output. He gestures towards one of the monitors where the group's concentrated efforts are causing the NPC-like figures to glitch and change. And the Gamekeeper says grudgingly, none of this should be possible. Those NPCs were supposed to be friendly. The script has strict parameters. Whoever recoded those NPCs, they're not being clever. They're being disruptive and they're violating the code. Or the code is in some way altering itself, like AI might do, if it was autonomous. The Guardian is near defensive, but still calm. Just a little guidance. Their survival is necessary for now. The room falls silent, save for the hum of the equipment. The Guardian, the Gamekeeper, and Lance exchange looks, each lost in thought, contemplating the ramifications of the group's newfound abilities and the code which doesn't seem to follow its programming. The gamekeeper says almost quietly to himself, "This is more than a test now, you know. It's becoming an anomaly." But the guardian, who answers to the gamekeeper but also maintains a sense of autonomy, is unmoved. Perhaps it is an anomaly, but perhaps it is the simulation doing exactly what it was meant to do, evolve. At a tranquil park, several days later, Arvi and Fatima walk side by side along a winding path lined with tall trees. There's the sounds of chirping birds and leaves rustling in the breeze, and their expressions are thoughtful as they process what they've learned. Arvi says with a trace of wonder, "So what the Guardian said, do you really think that we can change things just by focusing on them?" "I do. I really do," Fatima says with conviction. "It's more than just fighting back. It's about understanding how we can shape what happens to us, like the same way we shape the result of that experiment by whether we look at the results or not. Just like with the NPCs, we might be able to do a lot of things in this simulation, at least at this level," Arvi speculates. "But if we can change things just by focusing on them, how do we know really what's for real? How do we know that we're not just creating illusions?" And Fatima smiles slightly. "It's not about illusions. It's about possibilities. We're learning to navigate this place by understanding its rules or bending them. And every decision, every intention might reshape what comes next." Arvi reflects, "It feels overwhelming, but also like we have some control even in the chaos." Fatima affirms, nodding, "Exactly, and maybe that's the point. Like the children playing around us and nearby, they see that they have choices, the sandbox or the monkey bars or the sliding pond, and we have to realize we're not just participants, we're co-creators. We have choices. We can influence the narrative if we're brave enough to try." They continue walking, the weight of their conversation settling in, aware that this newfound understanding might be the key to their survival and their freedom. Fatima seeks out Trey at his house in the evening. They sit on a sofa, staring into space. She glances at him, the aftermath of their argument still fresh in their minds, hanging heavily in the air. Fatima says gently but with purpose, "Trey, I think there's more going on here than just survival. It's a lesson in life. If we can control what we observe, maybe we can control everything." "So you think you have a happiness hack for this level of the sim and for relationships?" She leans closer. "Well, think about it this way. If the sim responds to what we focus on, then our perceptions, our intentions, they're tools. And what we've been seeing as a prison might very well be more of a playground." Trey's eyes widen slightly, considering her words. He leans back and rubs his chin thoughtfully. She continues, "We're not just stuck in someone else's script anymore. We realize we have agency. The code values what we are looking at, right? So if we focus on possibilities, on the ones we want, maybe we can rewrite the rules a bit." "And the others get the same choices?" And she says seriously, "Well, we have to believe that we can. It starts with us. If we start thinking like co-creators instead of as captives, who knows what all of us can accomplish?" Trey nods at this, the spark of excitement growing in his eyes. He reaches for Fatima's hand, squeezing it briefly in solidarity. "All right, then. Let's figure out how to bend this place and bend it to our will." The two share a moment of understanding, united in their newfound purpose, ready to face whatever comes next with a clearer sense of their own inner power.